Thank you. Thank you for that great introduction. And we're going to continue and sing a song together. Take the blue book, please. And it's number 16. God is here among us. Let us all adore him. So when we're gathered, let's remember that God is with us. Let's stand, please.
Good morning and welcome here. Welcome to, first of all, welcome our special guests who finally showed up. Most of us are giggling because we know the long history of this ancient invitation, which, it was a blizzard, first of all, and then it was a mask mandate, second of all. And now finally, we are so happy that you are here. This is not their first time. And so, like we have already mentioned, they feel like this is their home. So don't be too nice, because then they won't feel like it's their home anymore. Also, welcome to everyone who has chosen to be here with us this morning, in person or virtually. And for everyone who is here or who is thinking about being here within an hour, if you come, there's food downstairs. And everyone is welcome to participate in the meal that is being prepared. There's plenty of coffee on the boil. So by the time the service is completed, I'm sure we'll be smelling everything. Do not hesitate to join in. It doesn't matter if you brought anything. You are most definitely welcome. You know, when you invite guests to your home, you don't ask them to bring the dinner. So you are all our guests, and you are all very welcome. I would like to just open the service. Well, not really. It's already been opened by multiple people and by ourselves. So I would like to add a few words, starting with Psalm 98, verses 1 to 5. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of the melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. May this be our service this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for gathering us in so many ways and from so many different places. You always gather everyone to yourself. And that place is a place of steadfast love and faithfulness. And because of that, we can sing praises. We can burst into song because you are so faithful and so loving. Thank you for what we anticipate is this morning's service, and we ask for your blessing on everything that is said and sung and played and done here today, whether in this sanctuary space or later at the meal as we share our time together. We ask for your Spirit's movement among us and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we are just so happy to be here. I mean, when we first made plans and that fell through, can't go to Zion this time. And then we tried again, and COVID, it's just nasty. And so we can't make it. And so now we are so happy when finally there wasn't a snowstorm. You know, it worked out. May 15th was good. So thanks again for extending the invitation to us. We do feel like we're among family and friends here, and we don't have to be perfect, because we're not, we know that. And so it's a big compliment to be invited back. Having, you know, the first time it's a risk, the second time you know what you're getting, so we're glad that you've extended that invitation. Now, we're also sponsored by Amity Trust. Now, that's a little bit of a strange name to some of you, but you're probably getting used to it by now, because Doug over there, I'm sure he's been proclaiming that from the rooftops. We're now Amity Trust. Used to be Mennonite Trust. And so, Doug, you've been, what, 13 years? I don't know. It's a long time. And you've just been doing a fantastic job in the branch office here. And Matt's been doing taxes for us, and he must be on the field just about by now, too. Yeah, so we can't send him tax returns. He just says, I'm not doing them for several months. But thank you, too, for your work on our behalf. Now, we do have some stuff at the back, reminding you of what we do. Make sure that your wills are up to date. At any time, things can change in your family or in your financial situation. And it's good to review that, keep those up to date, because sometimes surprises do come. The other thing is power of attorney, extremely important at any phase of life, but particularly so as we age and maybe we don't have the same capacity we used to. Mennonite Trust used to be, now it's Amity Trust, has a great program too, where we do look after people who don't have family around, they can't look after their own finances, and we do account management, which is just a super service for a lot of people who just don't have another way, a good way, to look after their own things. So do take advantage. We do loans and mortgages, investments, some great staff on board there too. And we're excited to do what we do, and glad that they're sponsoring us to come out here as well. So there's some Mennonite stuff at the back too, some Mennonite Trust stuff, some old merchandise from leftover. Take it all. Because your family, we can do the Mennonite thing, it's free, right? So the Amity stuff is free too, but it feels more like it's free when it's Mennonite. Anyway, so do avail yourselves of those things. We're happy to represent that as well. So, but we are also very excited about this program. It's kind of unique in a lot of ways, because it's based on a book. Who has read The Pilgrim's Progress? Okay, a few of you have, not everybody. It's the language, if you read the original version, is getting to be a little stilted to our own modern thinking, because it's written in King James time. And It was, in fact, a classic. It's the very first English novel put to print. And for many years, the only book that had more copies in print was the Bible. Otherwise, it was Pilgrim's Progress was next. It was written by John Bunyan from jail in the 1600s, and it's been widely read across the world. The full title was Pilgrim's Progress from This World to That Which Is to Come. It's an allegory, meaning life's like this. And the whole thing is really an allegory. It's designed to teach and encourage as we walk in this world. So our songs in mountain music are also often allegories, and they are designed to illustrate the journey that we walk along, and they have a lot of parallels with what Pilgrim's Progress does. So I hope you'll be encouraged by each of these songs. You can listen for the allegory in this one. Progress is Christian. His life begins in the city of destruction. It's a symbol of the garbage dump of this world. It's rife with corruption and sadness, abuses and sins and sorrows. It's mostly dead-end streets. No one living there has a hope. The Christian tires of this city of misery, and his own flaws burden him more and more. He hears about the celestial city, a place of life. So with great courage, he decides he must leave his home city to go find it. He pleads with his wife, begging her to join. But she says, "No, I'm not coming." downcast but resolute. He forges on alone, shouldering his miserable burden.
Christian soon meets with hardship. Distracted, he carelessly slips into the Slough of Despond, a swamp, a mire, into which he helplessly descends. His doubts and fears about his life nearly overwhelm him. He fears he will sink forever into the darkness. How discouraging to search for the good and then be waylaid. But just in time, great help comes his way. Mm-hmm.
Burden becoming ever heavier, Christian eventually comes to an important gate. It reads, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." He knocks. No answer. He has to knock over and over and over and over to arouse the gatekeeper. Finally, the gatekeeper opens the gate and directs him onward. He urges Christian, "Stay on the right path, for it won't be easy." I love you.
The interpreter's house is the next stop. Fire is warming the room, and Christian is shown a battle between two opponents. One man fuels the fire with oil to keep it going. The other pours water on it to douse it. It's a picture of the ongoing battle in the human heart as we decide between Christ and the evil one.
On the road now, Christian begins to run as much as possible with the heavy load, for he sees the cross, which stands on higher ground. At the sight, surprisingly, the burden already grows a little lighter.
Finally, he reaches the cross. Miraculously, the burden of his back suddenly slips from his shoulders, rolls down the slope, and falls, never to be seen again. He gives three leaps for joy and even begins to sing aloud.
Christian stands weeping with joy, three shining ones, angels, appear. They affirm, all your sins are now forgiven. These angels of light replace his worn, ragged clothes with new garments.
Thank you.
Holy way beyond the cross. It's fenced in with a high wall on either side. What is this? Progress is still very difficult. Two wall jumpers tried to talk him into taking the easy way, but Christian knows an amazing presence, and he argues with them resolutely, saying, "The right path is the one leading straight up difficulty hill."
In your life.
Hill, Christian is nearly overwhelmed. It's so steep in places that he has to inch forward on hands and knees. Halfway up, he comes to a pleasant meadow, a refuge provided for the refreshment of weary travelers.
In time, Christian would catch up to a good friend, Faithful by name. Oh, how it lightens the journey to share. They exchange stories, they share their trials, and they become well-loved brothers. Their path takes them to the city of Vanity Fair. It's a place of fraud, of wickedness. Christian and faithful infuriate the merchants as they refuse the false goods. Brought to trial first, faithful is convicted for treason, sentenced, and cruelly executed. Faithful goes on to his reward, but Christian loses a dear friend. He is again alone, downcast. Christian says, to go back is nothing but death. To go forward is fear of death, and life everlasting beyond it. I will yet go forward.
Soon another friend, Hopeful, joins, and they both come to the Delectable Mountains. Here they find gardens, orchards, vineyards, and fountains of water. On the far side of the river is the Celestial City. Christian proclaims, it is always hard to see the purpose of wilderness wanderings until after they are over. Two shining ones take the pilgrims by the arm and help them climb the steep slope to the city on the great high mountain. They are taken to the king, who orders the single gate to be opened, The two weary pilgrims find themselves home, forever home, after this difficult journey. In part two of Pilgrim's Progress, Christian's wife also decides to make the trek with her children. Amidst joys and struggles, they too find the celestial city and one day join together. She finds her faith, in part, because of him.
Way back in the hills of southeast Kentucky, as a boy I did play. For it seemed endless days, and there I found love with a sweet mountain woman. One look at her smile, and I felt like a child again,
a child again,
born of love.
where an old flower was.
There is no hay. I found my faith, and my soul was saved. When God calls me home, and I cross that white river, I'll walk on the shore, a child once more, a child again.
Pilgrim's Progress. We hope that you have found it an encouragement to travel on with God, even when life becomes hard. We hope you are inspired to walk the good walk and make this life a fruitful journey as we make our way to the celestial city.
John Bunyan would write, "You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you." May this be one of those days. Each day I'll give you a lonely thing. I have to know that I need my life on the earth is a mistake. So I'll give you I'll go with that. so much. You've been most kind, as you always are. And God bless you as you carry on. Do you have anything to say at the end? No? We're all good? Okay.
I wanted to leave room for an encore. I didn't know how long they would clap, and then maybe you would come and sing one last verse. I would invite you all for dinner, of course, and until then, please rise for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.